I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
John, what do you like to do for grilling out on like these major holidays? We just had the 4th of July here in the U.S., and a lot of people I know like to have a Pleasant Valley Sunday. Charcoal smoke in the air. Just
is
another
that a thing?
Pleasant Valley Sunday. You never run that song? The Monkees?
I know the Monkees song. Yeah, of course. I know the Monkees
song. Charcoal in the air.
Oh, is that a line in the song? Oh, I don't think I knew that. I like the Monkees, actually. There was, we were in our most recent episode where we had Andy Weir on the show, we did talk a little bit about the Beatles, and I'd mentioned that book that I read. And, you know, we were talking about how all of us go through our own personal Beatlemania in our own mind. And that's kind of what that book was about, like how everyone has sort of a personal relationship with the Beatles. Mm-hmm. When I was going through my Beatles phase, I got into a lot of bands and artists that, you know, not necessarily Beatles like, but along the same lines. I ended up getting into bands like that were later, like Squeeze and Crowded House. And it was these two guys that I was in a band with at the time who were also big Beatles fans. And that was kind of a big influence on that band. But believe it or not, those guys liked the Monkees a lot too. Mm-hmm. And I ended up really liking the Monkees soon. Obviously I had memories of the TV show again, even though that show was on before we were born. Kids, there were reruns back in the day where you were very limited to what you can watch. So Monkees, even though it was in the 80s, when I watched it, my sister really liked the Monkees too. So I watched all those episodes of the Monkees. So I knew the tunes, but then years later, when I was in my 20s, and these two guys were into that stuff, you know, I went and got the Monkees' Greatest Hits and really liked that album. And still, when those Monkees tunes come up on various playlists or what have you, I really love those tunes. It's really holds up better than you'd think. Even though they were a fake band, the actual music is very good.
Well, yeah, and I mean the guys in the band, they took it very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, as a lot of those kind of constructed bands did, right? They were specifically built as a counter to the Beatles. It was people trying to cash in on the Beatles, right?
Yes,
and trying to come up with, which they always do. Someone becomes successful in Hollywood and music and in acting and something like that, and you get 1,000 clones, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. and that's what they were trying to do with the Monkees. But just like with David Cassidy, essentially you had the Monkees themselves rebelling against the corporate machine that built them and was forcing them to do stuff. And they went out and wrote their own songs and did their own music.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And even if you're talking about the Monkees' hits, like you said, later on, as they got successful, yes, they wanted to kind of write their own songs because they were musicians. They were songwriters. They were actors too, which was why they got cast, because it was the whole like, hey, the Beatles can't really act at all, but we threw them in some movies and that did well. So let's, you know, build a TV show about a Beatles like band and it'll do well. And it did. But in terms of the actual music, great songwriters of the day wrote those hits. Neil Diamond wrote, I think I'm a Believer is Neil Diamond, who wrote that. And I think in terms of the people playing on the album, now the Monkees are singing, but they're not playing on the, at least original batch of tunes. I think that's the Wrecking Crew, which I think we've talked about that, documentary that was made about, that was much like the Funk Brothers for Motown and the Muscle Shoals band in wherever that is. Where is Muscle Shoals? That's like in someplace in the South.
Yeah.
And then you have the Wrecking Crew that was in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. who played on everybody's record. And I think they're who is playing on the Monkees record. So great songwriters, great playing, and great singing. So those Monkees tunes are better than you might think, because all the everybody that was involved in it was of a high quality.
And so, didn't Jack write something for them too?
Jack, which Jack are we talking about?
Come on.
Am I totally like missing a joke?
From The Shining?
Jack Nicholson?
Yeah. Didn't he write Head with them, the movie?
Oh, see, that was one of those things that I never watched, but I know that's a thing with them, that they made this weird avant-garde kind of movie. Jack Nicholson is in that movie then?
And I think he helped write it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where I didn't get that far into the Monkees. I was basically into the TV show and the greatest hits album. I don't get into when they got.
Could hide the wings of the bluebird as she wings. Come on, John.
But you know, we always wing, or often wing these just the two of uses. And this is I had no intention of talking about.
Well,
the
and you never answered the question. You never answered the question. Would you grill? Like on these holidays where a lot of people are out grilling, do you grill?
Well, I am in a new place, but we have not had a grill or a barbecue really ever in our life. So I am not a grilling guy. It may happen because we actually have a backyard now, so that is a possibility that we will get a grill at some point, but as of now we don't. How about you? What did you do in terms of your grilling?
Let's see, on 4th of July, I think I grilled a marinated flank steak.
Nice.
And I may have also done some salmon, and I think that was it. Salmon and that flank steak. But I also did some other stuff. You know me, I like to cook, so.
Yeah, no, I you know, it's funny. That's the, we tend to be critical of, you know, that was sort of the cliche with social media. It's like, no one cares what you ate for lunch, but turns out people actually care what you eat for lunch.
Well, and it's funny because now that you mention that, there's a little bistro in Colorado Springs that I've been to a couple of times, and it's run by a very lovely Korean family, and they make all kinds of stuff, and they make it all fresh. They bake fresh bread. I know you can't do bread, but they bake fresh bread. They do all these really nice dishes, and I had lunch there one day, and it was just dead. There was nobody there, and I'm like, I wonder if this is one of those places, because it was a weekend. I wonder if this is one of those places that only survives by, you know, the traffic that comes through during the week, during the work week, right? And just on the weekends, they're dead. Mm-hmm. And I decided to do something I don't normally do. I wrote a review on Google.
Okay.
And posted a couple of pictures. And Google immediately sent me an email and said, hey, you should be a local guide because we love your review.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure there's an algorithm that just automatically sends that out, but I choose to believe that someone actually at Google read my review and loved it so much that they reached out to me.
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works.
I started, you know, because I always take pictures of my food and post it to annoy people on social media. And so I accepted this little thing, and I started being this local guide. And it's funny because, you know, my first thing was in Colorado Springs. So it's like, oh, you're in Colorado Springs. No, I'm actually not. And I started posting pictures, and the pizza place that I go to for lunch sometimes, Jerome's, I love them too. They're very eclectic, and they do all kinds of different things, and it's just a fun place. And I took some pictures of them and posted it online, and I started getting emails from Google going, your review and your photos are hitting new records. I go and look, and 15,000 people have viewed my damn pictures of Jerome's Pizza.
Wow. Well, people like eating.
Yeah. And I went in and I'm telling Jerome, I'm like, hey, you know, look at this. And I'm showing it. And he's like, wow, $5 off your pizza today.
I was going to say, did you get a free slice? Come on, man.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk about privacy and social media and all of that, but there is such an upside to living our lives in this way because our phone is tracking where we are and what we do where we are. And if you take pictures, then yeah, because I have the Pixel 2 now. So it's you know, obviously it's a Google phone, so it's very integrated with all those.
Yeah,
Google
I can tell services. By the green color of the texts.
I know. I'm sorry. I did that to you. I'm a green texter now. But I'm constantly getting asked to, it's like, hey, you were just at this library.
Yeah.
Tell us something about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, calm down, Google. Okay.
Yep,
it's good though. I have to say though, with the integration of the maps and all, it does make your life a lot easier in a lot of ways because it's sort of taking a history of the things that you like to do and it helps you get there. And I don't know, I see more upside to it than downside. And this was someone who was very, and I think most people of our generation were very hesitant to get involved in social media and just being online at all. You know, I think when we were in our 20s, it was, don't give up your privacy and don't live your life online and you're going to lose your job and and all of that. And I think you should be careful when it comes to certain things. And there's good etiquette and just good practice for how you live your life online. But I think overall, if you do it the right way, the benefits outweigh the negative parts. If you do it the right way.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think, you can get lost in certain sections of it and you can do something dumb that is going to have a really bad effect on your life. If you maybe share too much but yeah, I think it's very funny that I'm totally fine with people posting about their dinners. I really, that's what, I don't know. You post a lot of times what you're making or eating, and I'm totally fine with it. It doesn't bother me at all. I just think that's where we're at with all of it. But.
Well, and I've noticed there's a lot of foodies within our community.
Yes.
And people who are curious about, you know, what's going on in different areas and what foods are popular. And so I think that those posts they resonate with certain people. And to your point, there are other people that it bugs the ever living shit out of. And they don't care and they don't want to see, you know, that I was farting around with the Instapot and trying to make something, you know, they don't care.
Well, then they can hide you. That's what they can
so,
hide.
So we talked a little bit before recording about what we were going to talk about. I think we promised people that we were going to talk about Solo.
Well, let's do it then. Let's do it.
So I think we kind of have to.
That's okay.
Touch on it a little bit. I know it's been a while.
Yeah.
We took a break for the holiday. But we did, I want to say, I feel like we promised we'd talk a little bit about it.
Well, that's fine by me. I'm happy to talk about it. Now you saw
it. We have to put the spoiler alert up. You know, if you have an intention to see Solo and you haven't seen it yet, understand that, at this point we are going to start talking about the movie. We're going to spoil some stuff. So if you don't want spoilers, you might want to, stop listening right now and come back later.
Right. And I believe this is at least a lot of my thoughts about the movie. I think this is going to be a discussion that is not so, although it might be a little bit about what the actual content of the movie. I think to me, the interesting bits of conversation that can center around this film is about its box office and it's going out into the world and sort of the state of Star Wars right now that was kind of brought to light by this movie coming out. Now, before we get into all that, I know you saw it opening weekend. I didn't end up seeing it until 2 or 3 weeks later. So just first off the bat, what was your impression of the movie?
So I enjoyed the movie way more than I thought I would, which I know is not what other people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
I went into it thinking this is, it's silly to do this movie was kind of in the back of my head. But it won me over. It was, I felt like it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. And I have some problems with it here and there, and we can talk about that. But overall, you know, I would pick it. I think I did pick it.
Yeah, I think so.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. And I will say this. One of the big questions going into the movie was Alden Ehrenreich. And because he wasn't featured that prominently in the trailers, and because of all the, and I think everybody who listens to this show are very well aware that, you know, the directors were pulled off and Ron Howard came in and finished it up, and there was a lot of reshooting, and there was an acting coach, and there was all of this trepidation going into it. And a lot of it was centered around Alden Ehrenreich and was he going to be able to pull it off? And I thought he was awesome. I thought he was great. I don't think he was doing a Harrison Ford impression, which was probably the right choice. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was great. I thought he was really enjoyable, especially the parts where he wasn't actually talking, where he was just sort of reacting and you just saw facial expressions and posture. I thought he was awesome. I thought he did a great job and I found him likable. And so to me, that was a big relief because it's like, well, if he's not pulling this off, this whole movie is going to fail. Like if the whole time you're thinking like, this isn't Harrison Ford or this isn't Han Solo, like it's totally going to fail. So I think he really succeeded and I liked the whole cast. Obviously everyone loves Donald Glover as Lando. I thought he was great too. I thought all of that was good. What I will say is, I enjoyed it. I feel like this is a movie when it comes on home video and I buy the digital copy to have, I feel like this will be a movie that I will enjoy and I will enjoy watching it with my son and my wife and will hold up to repeat viewings. And I think it's another enjoyable Star Wars movie. That being said, I think because of all the negativity that came out of The Last Jedi, and then a lot of negativity, even just while this movie was being made, and then it not doing well in comparison to previous Star Wars movies, I don't think I'm burned out on Star Wars. I do think I'm burned out on Star Wars fans or Star Wars talk or Star. I'm just like, man, I just enjoy Star Wars. Like, why? Like, what's going on? Like, there's too much negativity in. Now, that's the thing with this movie. I don't think it's a perfect movie. I didn't love it. I went to see it by myself on like a Sunday afternoon. And when I got home, my wife was like, oh, how was it? And I'm like, it was fine. It was like, and that wasn't necessarily being negative. It just, I usually walk out of, and I think that's what it was meant to be. I don't think it was meant to, like, when you look at like The Last Jedi or even Rogue One and Force Awakens, you know, those are, there's a lot of weight to those movies. And this is not that kind of movie. This was kind of a fun, light adventure. And it was, it was enjoyable. But
it was a train job.
Yes, but it doesn't have the weight of Luke, I am your father. It doesn't have the weight.
No, and it's not supposed to.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I came home, I was like, it was fine. It was totally fine. But when I walked out of The Last Jedi or even like Rogue One, like I just was like, that was awesome. And I didn't say that. I just was like, it's good. It's fine. And so when you couple that with just so much negativity, and I know we're talking about Star Wars and we're giving our opinion, but the fact that everyone feels the need to give their opinion of everything with Star Wars, I'm a little burnt on it, not on the actual property, but on the negativity with it. I don't know how you feel about that.
Okay. So a few things here. I'm moving my notebook aside. You might hear me because I don't want to take notes right now, but okay, you brought up several different things that I want to talk about. Number one, my issue, if I have an issue with Solo, was that they tried to do too much in one movie. They tried to explain the entire mythology of Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon in one story. Mm-hmm. They crammed it all in. they made a point of saying, look, here's the Millennium Falcon in pristine Lando condition. Isn't she gorgeous? And then had a series of events throughout the course of this one story where at the end she becomes the Millennium Falcon that we know from A New Hope.
Right.
And I felt like that was too much to push all into one story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With Rogue One, they did a great job of calling back into the animated shows.
Yes.
That have been on, because, you know, Hera is mentioned. We see the ghost. Chopper is actually in the movie. Mm-hmm. You can find him at a specific point in the movie. And so, you know, they did a great job of calling back Rebels and showing that they were there and feeding that particular fan Easter egg, mm-hmm. right? In Solo, they did that, in my opinion, in a huge way.
Yes.
Huge. And you talked about that got spoiled for you.
It did. Yeah. That was a bummer too, because that would have had a lot more weight, I think, if I didn't know it was coming. And yeah.
So if you're still listening,
yes.
and you still want to see Han Solo, the Solo movie, and you don't want this particular thing majorly spoiled for you, you need to turn it off now, because I'm going to say it.
Yes.
I think that particular moment when they show Darth Maul was huge.
Yeah.
And that shocked a lot of people in the theater who have never seen Clone Wars and who have never seen Rebels.
Right.
And had absolutely no idea that Darth Maul had been brought back.
Right.
And I went and saw this with someone who hadn't seen any of that.
Right.
And the last thing that they had seen from Darth Maul was him getting cut in half in Phantom Menace.
Right.
And they're like, how the hell is he back?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to explain, you know, well, in Clone Wars, he comes back. And so that was a huge moment and a callback to the animated shows that have been around for a while. But overall, I just felt like they tried to fit, like, every little nuanced thing about Solo from the first three films, they tried to call back in this movie, and I felt like that was too much.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and they bring was Beckett, that's the name of Woody Harrelson's character.
Yeah.
Mentions how he killed Aura Singh. Like, so that was a little bit of a callback, as Aura Singh, I think, is in a video game and stuff too. Well, actually, you know, she appears in Phantom Menace, like in the background at points. She's like taking pot shots during the pod race and everything. But then she was used quite a bit on Clone Wars, the show, to sort of tie her in.
Almost as a surrogate or adoptive mother for Boba Fett.
Right, exactly. So yeah, I thought all that was great. Look, anything, again, it was enjoyable. It was fine. To talk about why it didn't do that well, there's a lot of theories, but
well, before you go there, I'm not done yet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You brought up several different things.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was just what I didn't, what I felt was too much. Okay. I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it, because I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
I just felt like they were trying to do too much in that small amount of time. They could have, and it's kind of funny, because when we talked to Andy Weir, I was talking about the slow burn of the Marvel shows on Netflix and how the second seasons have all been, in my opinion, too long. They took too much time. And so Solo is the opposite of that. They tried to squeeze it all in too little time. And I felt like they could have, you know, branched out a little bit and done a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. So anyway, when you talk about the burnout on the fan reactions to stuff, I've been thinking about this in for a while and kind of playing with almost writing a blog post about it or possibly a social post. You know, I've farted back and forth with it. Sometimes I keep Evernote open and I'll just jot down thoughts about this kind of stuff. And it reminds me of, there's always been a lot of this kind of talk in comic book stores. And I remember, you know, the first time I ever set foot in a comic book store, it was Sierra Comics and Cards. It was in Clovis, California. I had to beg my mom to drive me there. And the first time I ever walked in, it's like, I'm in Nirvana because look at all this cool stuff. This is all the stuff I've ever loved. And there's two guys debating, you know, whether Superman could truly have sex with Lois Lane. So we're going back to when I'm what, 10, 11, 12 years old, something like that. And that debate had already been going on for decades.
Right.
Right. But it's there and it's in the comic book store and they're talking about it. And the more time I spent in the comic book stores, the more I started to hear that stuff, which eventually became the conversations that they're having on The Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Right. Where they're talking about it. And there was a very funny episode. And I know Big Bang Theory can be a polarizing topic for some folks because some people feel like it's making fun of comic book fans and gamers and all this kind of stuff. And other people feel that it's laughing with you, not at you. I'm one of the ones that feel it's laughing with us, not at us. But there's a very funny episode, in my opinion, when all the guys are out and Penny, Amy Farrah Fowler, and Bernadette are trying to figure out, because they don't get it, they're trying to figure out why these guys love comic books so much. And they start going through and reading a bunch of the comics that the guys have laying around. And they start having this debate over Thor and Mjolnir. And it's the same debate that comic book nerds have had, again, for decades. But they're having this conversation, and they're getting really angry with each other because they're not agreeing. It's three completely separate opinions on why these things work and why they don't work and why X can lift it and Y can't and so on and so on. And they're just going on and on and on. And it's that same debate. So these things have been around forever. What's different is there's now social media and the internet. And I've talked about this before. When you are online, you enjoy a modicum of anonymity. And for some truly jackass people, they feel like that gives them license to say whatever stupid, shitty thing comes out of their mouth. You know, they just say stuff. And there's no consequences for them. Because again, they're anonymous, they're online. And I feel like that is the difference here. You just have these people who are saying stupid shit, feeding off of each other, and it's all getting blown up because they continue to feed off of each other and make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And everybody else is kind of standing around going, I don't get this. What's going on? Why are they hating everything?
Yeah, it's soured my experience lately with it, because I saw Last Jedi opening weekend that Friday. I really liked it. I've seen it a couple times now, and I've seen it at home. And
it dropped on Netflix.
Right.
It dropped on Netflix, so it's available on Netflix. I watched it with my mom.
I watched it with my son this week. Yeah.
She asked me what I thought of it. I said, I really liked it. She's like, I liked it too. I'm like, great. I posted that on Facebook. One of the comments on Facebook, well, this movie ruined the entire franchise for me. It's ruined it. And I started to write a comment back saying, well, to quote Luke, amazing. Every single word that just came out of your mouth is wrong.
Right.
And then I stopped myself because I thought, you know what? All that does is fuel their fire and their passion to hate it.
Right.
And so I didn't post that. I just said something like, well, I hear your words. I completely disagree.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of statement I think is foolish. Now, watching it a few times, there are certain aspects. It's like, well, that's a choice I would have liked to have seen go in a different direction, or But you could do that with all of them. Every single, like, you could be like, oh, I wish they kind of did this here or did that. Well, look, you know, you bring up the internet, and the internet was around back then, but not obviously to the degree it is now. But can you imagine the internet being around when, like, the Phantom Menace? I know the internet was around, but not like it is now.
Not like this, no.
If the prequels came out now, like, oh, forget it. You would never, ever see another Star Wars movie made. Forget it.
Well, and even then it was bad. Yes. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Lucas said he quit. Yes. He wasn't going to make any more movies.
I don't blame him for that. And now, look, I'm probably of the opinion of the prequels that a lot of people are. I look at the prequels differently now because of Clone Wars, the cartoon, and because of the books and Rebels and all of those things where you can just sort of view the prequels as sort of setting the template for all of that other material, which I do enjoy a lot.
Right.
So if you just sort of look at those movies as being, you know, obviously they're not to rehash what's bad about the prequels, because there's a lot of things that are not well done in the prequels. But if you just look at it as episodes that take place in that timeline, and if you sort of, you know, blur your vision a little bit through some of the sections that you don't like as much, then they're just part of a continuum, and you can like certain parts and be like, well, this dialogue is super clunky here.
Well, this is, you know. And if you want to talk about dodging a bullet, I mean, to be brutally honest, Lucas getting out of Star Wars is potentially the best thing that ever happened to Star Wars.
Oh, sure.
Because he has since talked about his plans for the third set of movies, right? That were going to be set in the midichlorian universe.
Right. I heard about that. Yeah.
About the midichlorians.
Right.
Like a microverse kind of thing. And you want to talk about people losing their shit. If he had made those, it wouldn't be any different. I just think it's George R. R. Martin is not your bitch.
That's a pretty good song. I've heard of that one before.
But that's the point. It's like, it's the fan sitting there going to Neil Gaiman. Well, don't you think George owes us the stories that we want? Mm-hmm. Doesn't he owe those to us? And Neil's like, no, he doesn't.
Well, I think also what happens sometimes with this, I'll often see comments like this. I think when these things are not made, when they don't line up perfectly with what your vision of what the next movie would have been, then there's a letdown. And I'll see things like this posted on YouTube or what have you, where it'll be like some random person and they'll just be like, well, if I was able to make the movie, then it's like, well, yes, of course, like, but you're not making the movie, like, you're like,
right.
So yes, make a fan fiction movie and you can make it whatever you want then. But it's the kind of constant negativity of it that's bothersome. But that being said, I think all the movies have been fine, and I don't know where they're going creatively. I think because it has not done well, and obviously there's been lots of conflicting stories about the state of where the Star Wars movies are. The thing that came out was that they're putting the standalone movies on hold for now.
And then Disney came back and said, no, we're not.
Yes.
We're not.
So who knows where they're actually at with that? Because you kind of hear conflicting things. Obviously, there's the Rian Johnson trilogy, which is in development, which is supposed to be something totally different in terms of where in the universe it takes place, what characters it uses.
There's a new animated thing called Resistance.
That's coming very soon. That's October. Yeah.
There's a new live action from Favreau.
That's going to be in 2019. I don't know if it's the end of 2019. And then there's the Game of Thrones guys, the Benioff and Weiss movies, which everybody seems to be speculating that that's going to be
Knights of the Old Republic
or in that time period.
Yeah.
Maybe not that story. So you have all these various things kind of in development. And I think what has hurt, and I'm not saying anything that other people haven't, is I think the way that they went about making the current movies. And in one way, it's quite admirable. It's, well, let the director have their vision and let them make the movie that they want to make. And
for the most part.
Yeah, yes. Within, you know, a certain...
Yeah.
And I think that's...
They're like, you can't kill Han Solo. And then suddenly he's dead. They're like, oh my God, what did you do?
Right. And I think having that sort of on a movie-by-movie basis, that's certainly a nice thought. But with Star Wars, and again, this is an opinion that I think a lot of people have. I think you're going to... Star Wars is now going to be compared to Marvel. And when you see what Marvel has done...
Everything is. Everything is being compared to Marvel.
Because it's so successful critically, the fans, and the box office... Where it's like, why aren't we all making stuff like Marvel? And we've talked
about. But it's funny because the critics are like, these movies are garbage.
Not all the time, I guess sometimes.
But they're like, oh, don't we have superhero fatigue? Superhero fatigue? Superhero fatigue? And then it doesn't happen, and they're like, well, fuck, what the hell?
It's not happening with
because they want something else. They want different things. They want all this other stuff. And Marvel is definitely playing to the core of their fans.
Yes.
But at the same time. They're doing different things because we have evolved culturally.
Yes.
We are evolving as a species. We're even in the last 10 years, it's been massive. In the last 20, 30 years, just the changes in our culture and in how we do things and how we perceive things and how we treat people has all changed. And in the Marvel universe, they've touched on that and they've played to that and it's worked well. Star Wars tried to play to it a little bit more and got a ton of backlash.
Yeah.
But I think that they're on the right path. They have to.
Yeah.
They have to.
I think what they're in a period now where they're looking at how the films have done and they're probably strategizing how to move forward. And that can only be good. And I think, I'm not saying you have to model it completely after Marvel. I think, and I think this is what they're doing now. Hopefully that's what they're doing now. But making more of a plan. Because I think if you look at the Star Wars movies, unless you're a hardcore fan, I actually think what's come out can actually be pretty confusing. Because, all right, so you have The Force Awakens and you have The Last Jedi. And then you have Rogue One, and it's like, well, wait a minute. When does this one take place? Oh, this is right before the first. Okay. And then Han Solo comes out. Well, when is this one now? Like, so I think they're kind of a little bit all over the place with where they're putting things out. And,
but they're treating the movie universe like a book universe.
Okay.
And in a book universe, you can release books at any point in the timeline. That's what they did the before. That's what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's fine. I would like to see, and hopefully this is the way it's going to work with the Rian Johnson trilogy and with the Benioff and Weiss movies, which they're just saying is a series of movies. So that could be two movies, that could be five movies. Who knows what that's going to end up being? But if I think even with in the middle of The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and now Episode 9, which is coming out. I think even though I liked The Last Jedi a lot, I wish they had more of a plan where it was, because I kind of feel like this trilogy that.
You're a little bit upset that J.J. Abrams had intentions.
Uh-huh.
He put hooks in The Force Awakens for what he intended The Last Jedi to be. And Rian Johnson did something different. He did not follow those hooks on that plan. He did his own conception of what the movie should be.
Right. Well, but the thing is like, overall, I really liked it. And I just watched it again this week with my son. And we watched it in like little 20-minute increments. So that's always a weird way to watch movies. But I really love all of the Rey Kylo stuff. I liked the Luke stuff. The
Finn Rose storyline is the problem for me.
Yes, me too.
That's the problem for me in The Last Jedi.
Yes.
It felt that was we have this huge ensemble cast. We need something for these two characters to do. Let's send them off somewhere else.
Yes.
That to me felt very contrived and it wasn't great. Are you familiar with Tracy Morgan, the comedian?
With who?
Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, Tracy Morgan, sure.
So Tracy Morgan's complaint about The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi is about Finn. And he said that no black man would walk away from a good union job like that. and which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That whole side story with them just was not the best part.
It doesn't hang with the rest.
That's the weakest part.
That's
the weakest part.
Now, when I first
of that movie
on first viewing, that didn't bother me at all. I thought it was fine, but I found myself anticipating when we get back to Rey or Kylo or Luke when watching it recently. I just think, and I liked how Rian Johnson did all of that movie. I really do. I just think, I just would like to see more of a follow through on how they're going to hang it all together. Now, JJ may come back in episode 9 and he may wrap it all up in just a brilliant way and hope that's, you know, if you're a Star Wars fan, that's what you're hoping for, that he's going to pull in the hooks, as you said, from The Force Awakens. He's going to incorporate the things that Rian Johnson added and make it all hang together. That's what we want. And I hope to see that. Or he may just be like, well, I know Rian Johnson said that Rey came from nothing, but he said she's actually Luke's daughter, or whatever. You know, he may just be like, I kind of hinted that she's Obi-Wan's daughter or Obi-Wan's granddaughter. So I'm going to go with that. And remember how the Knights of Mary.
Well, you can always say that Kylo lied.
You can
always say that Kylo lied.
Yes.
I mean, that there's nothing.
And I don't care about that so much. I would just like it to hang together. I'm not invested in, ooh, Rey has to be an important, like, that's not important to me. I just, from a artistic point of view, from a storytelling point of view, I think it would be stronger if everything was more connected. Because going back to the Marvel things, I think that's why the Marvel movies are so enjoyable now, because there is a plan. Now, I think there's autonomy within the individual things. You know, I think the one that's brought up a lot is Ryan Coogler, the director of Black Panther, how he was able to advance the Marvel universe so that it helped to set up Infinity War, but was still able to tell his own story that was its own thing within Black Panther. And I think that's the balance that the Marvel movies are so good at these days, is that Thor Ragnarok too, that advances things towards Infinity War in a big way. But guess what? That's its own movie. My wife watched that movie, hasn't watched a Marvel, has maybe seen two Marvel movies before that, is not invested in it, loved it, enjoyed it. Top to bottom, didn't feel confused, nothing.
Right, but the two movies that your wife has seen was Thor and Thor Dark World, because it's Thor.
Right.
But when we look at the Star Wars movies, the Force Awakens, one of the criticisms of it, and take it or leave it, is that J.J. Abrams was trying to remake A New Hope.
Sure.
And so if we follow that logic, then The Last Jedi was attempting to be Empire.
Right.
And one of the themes of the first three movies was hermit Jedi, right? You had Obi-Wan was a hermit. You had Yoda was a hermit. In Empire, Yoda, he started off as comic relief. He made a lot of jokes. You were laughing. He was toying with Luke. He was annoying Luke. He was doing all these things. And then you go to The Last Jedi, and Luke has become the Yoda character.
Right.
It's comic relief at first, right? He's joking. He's making her follow him around. He's doing all these silly things. He's milking the blue cow thing. And what cracks me up is that people hate that. They hate it. They wanted Luke to be this massive hero, this superhero, this super Jedi, pulling Star Destroyers out of orbit with the Force and crashing them on the planets. That's a literal quote that someone said, that's what Luke should have been doing. He should have been using the Force to pull Star Destroyers out of orbit of a planet and crashing them down. That's who he should be at this point. And I'm going, well, no, because that's not what's going on with the Jedi.
Right.
If you look, it's like they rise and they fall. And he had a moment where he rose and he had a temple and then he fell again. And now he's the hermit Jedi. He's Yoda. He's Obi-Wan. He's off hiding because bad shit happened and he's just off hiding now. And when, you know, the new person comes to him and says, I'm Force sensitive and I need your help. That's Yoda.
Yeah.
Again.
No, I liked how Luke was characterized. I thought it was great.
And I'm sorry, just to finish the Yoda thing. Yoda's like, I'm not going to train you because you're too old.
Yeah.
Yep. Too old to start the training. Mm-hmm. And he has to be convinced, just like Luke has to be convinced.
Right. Yeah. I was totally on board with all of that. I think moving forward, I think you're going to see that. I think whatever Rian Johnson ends up doing, I think he's supposed to write his whole trilogy and maybe he's going to direct the first one. So I think what they're kind of doing is like, okay, you do those movies, whatever that is. Game of Thrones guys, you're going to do your movies. And hopefully because of that, that will all hang together better. I think you can still have the standalones and I would really like to see an Obi-Wan standalone. I think if that's done right, that can be great. And to kind of talk a little bit about the box office with Solo, which has obviously been talked about a lot. Look, here's a great example. I'm as big a Star Wars fan as they come. I did not get to see that movie until it was out for 3 weeks. I think Empire Strikes Back was the last Star Wars movie that I didn't see on opening weekend because I was not in control of when I can go to the movies back then. You know, it was whenever my parents would be willing to take me. But all the prequels I saw opening night and every, current movie I saw opening weekend at least. So I've never waited that long. But because of the time of year, because of the crowded movie marketplace in terms of competition, I did not get out to see it. I saw the week that Solo opened, I saw Infinity War because that was the first time I can get out to see Infinity War. it's weird. I saw Black Panther the week that Infinity War came out. I saw Infinity War the week Solo came out. And I still haven't seen Deadpool 2 yet, which I would have seen that. But that's the point. It was released a couple weeks after Infinity War. And like, was it like a week or two after the Deadpool movie? So it's like you had two movies that people who like these kinds of movies were already wanting to go see. And then it's a busy time of year for a lot of people, as it is for me.
The only thing I'm going to say against that, John, is that it's working for Marvel.
Yes.
Marvel is putting out, what, five movies a
year?
Something crazy. But still, they're putting out multiple movies a year, and it works for them. And so Disney, owning Marvel, thought, well, let's give this thing
people want to Star Wars. I don't think it was ready for that. And I think what really hurt them is a lot of the negativity to Last Jedi. So I think there was a little bit of back. Now, I don't know if that had a huge...
It didn't help. They wanted it in May. They wanted to do the big blockbuster tentpole May movie thing for Star Wars. Mm. And I get that. If they're going to do that, why the hell would you not do it on May 4th?
That's a good question too.
They lost a ton of marketing.
Yeah, and keep in mind too, they also started marketing this movie really late. Like you didn't see a trailer for this for long. I just think it would have probably done a lot better if they waited till December because they've owned December for the past 3 years. Now I know they have other things coming out too, but I think it's a time of year that really works well for Star Wars because a lot of people have a little bit of time off from work then. So it's like the holiday season. And even though people are busy during that time, it's a time when people can take their families and it's not a busy, like school's off for a week or two. Usually people have time. Also because of some of the backlash against Last Jedi, you would have had a few more months for that to kind of calm down a little bit. Maybe it would have been not forgotten, but just settled down a bit and people would have been a little hungrier for Star Wars. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it would have, Now, would it have still?
But at the same, John, we're talking about what, $1 billion? $1 billion is not enough.
Well, it didn't make that much yet. I don't.
I have no idea how much it made.
I think at this point, it.
Like, but what I'm saying is, it's like it was short. It was short, like a couple hundred million from the last one or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous that we're looking at the box office results of Solo making hundreds of millions of dollars, if not a billion, whatever the hell it was, and saying that that is a failure.
Well,
that to me is stupid.
Well, I got you, but I don't honestly, and I haven't looked at it recently. I don't know when you combine what it cost, because keep in mind with the reshoots, this ended up being a very expensive movie to make. The estimate I heard was like $300 million that it cost to make, which was probably $150 million more than they wanted to spend to make this movie. But because they basically shot the movie twice, that's why it cost so much. And then when you put marketing and all that on top of it. So I don't think it has made its money back yet. I think that's the problem.
Now, I think it has.
Maybe
it
has.
I think it has. And Peter Jackson can tell you that if the studio doesn't want it to be a profitable movie, they have tons of creative ways in their math of making sure that no matter how much money it makes, it's never quote unquote.
Well, right. Yeah. Didn't Peter Jackson get kind of screwed money wise with some of the, like,
he had to sue. Yeah. He had to sue because they kept changing the numbers.
Right.
So that they didn't have to give him any royalties.
I see.
Now here's my last thing that I'm going to say about The Last Jedi.
Okay.
And this is from a meme,
okay,
but I think it's spot on and brilliant. Luke Skywalker's final act was to halt an army dead in its tracks by using the Force in a way that's ultimately revealed to be pacifistic and nonviolent. That's arguably the most Jedi thing any character has ever done in any of these Star Wars movies ever, and probably the truest realization of Yoda's teachings that we've ever seen.
I saw that meme as well. I think I saw Rob Bedford post that the other night. And I agree. I felt that way. And I know that's Rian Johnson's thing, and I know people had a lot of problems with it, but I thought that was great. That's what I felt like too. It's like, yes, if you're peaceful, if that's your whole thing, this was great. This was a way to, you know, confront your enemies, but by harming nobody. Yeah, I thought it was great. I loved that. Yeah, I don't have any problem with Rian Johnson. I think we are in an age of storytelling where the bar is set really high now.
And but we're also in an age of the 24/7 cycle of everything.
Absolutely.
You cannot escape it anymore.
Yes.
Everybody has something to say and they have a platform to say it, whether you want to hear it or not. And I understand. And trust me, you're allowed to have an opinion.
Oh, sure.
Everybody's allowed to have an opinion. That's fine. But don't bully and harass people and force them into hiding like you've done. I mean, the kid who played Anakin quit acting. The guy who played Jar Jar tried to kill himself because of it. You know, you had Rey and Rose both left social media because they were being harassed and bullied over and over and over again, relentlessly. That's not right.
Of course not. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yes, of course.
Be better.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. Yeah. And you know what though, but I'm okay that we're not going to see a Star Wars movie for another 18 months or whatever it is. I think we can use a little breather. I think hopefully they're making as good a stuff as they can. I tell you what, I'm real excited about the other properties coming up with the new animated show looks good so far. That's coming in October, so that's real soon, which that's cool. And I'm really excited about the Favreau show. I think if they can do Game of Thrones level storytelling on that, and look, Favreau, Marvel guy, you know.
And you're willing to pay for it.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're willing to pay Disney for their streaming service to have access to these things.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, unless it's
And are you gonna pay DC for their streaming service to get Young Justice?
That is an excellent question, and that's probably another whole conversation, but the short answer to that is I will probably do the now, if they let you do it, who knows how they're going to let you do these things.
Supposedly, it's going to be an episode a week because they're going to the CBS All Access model.
Okay. Because I loved Young Justice, was there two seasons of Young Justice? Or
there's two seasons of Young Justice. The third one is dropping, and then they're also dropping Titans, which is the live-action Teen Titans Robin-focused, slash Nightwing-focused live-action show.
Okay. What I'll probably do with that one is I will probably, if you can do it, which most of the services you can do it, I'll probably do like what I do with HBO. I will sign up for a month. I will, after all the episodes of a season air, I'll watch all the episodes and whatever else I can within that month, and then probably cancel, because I doubt that there would be enough on there for me to want to pay $10.
Supposedly there's going to be Young Justice, and then there's a Harley Quinn animated show. There is a Swamp Thing animated show.
Yeah.
There's another animated show. I can't remember what it's called right now. And then the live action Titans. Mm-hmm. On the Disney one, I don't know what else other than the two Star Wars shows are going to be on there.
Yeah, the Disney, who knows what they're going to do with that? Because how kid-focused is that going to be? Like, is that going to be a thing where, hey, you pay your... Although they're saying it's going to be less than Netflix. Who knows what it's going to be by the time it comes out? You know, is it going to be that Star Wars show and some Disney Channel stuff, or is it going to be everything Disney? Is it going to be like, are all of the Marvel movies going to show up? Probably not.
Eventually, I think so. Eventually,
you know, maybe they'll have some. I don't know.
When the Netflix deal's up, I think they're going to move everything over, except for the shows,
right?
The Jessica Jones, Luke
Cage,
Daredevil.
Those are Netflix. But I'll tell you what, though, if now I own half of them by now too, but if it's that. If it's the Star Wars show, then that'll be one that I'll pay for throughout, because I'm too into Star Wars, man. That's one that I can't wait until the whole season drops. Like, I will, if there's a live action, high quality Game of Thrones like Star Wars show that's airing, I gotta see that, you know, as soon as possible. I can't wait till the end of a season for that.
Well, from what I understand, it's based on the B. Arthur character from the Star Wars Christmas special.
Yes. Yeah. So that I will pay for at least while the chosen season. But I'll tell you what, if that service has whatever Star Wars shows, if all the Clone Wars are up there and Rebels are up there and you know, other Disney things, if all the Marvel movies are suddenly available, if all the Pixar stuff is up there, like, I don't know how much content they're gonna have up there. But if you're telling me $10 a month and I have access to all the Marvel stuff and all the Pixar stuff and all that, like, that might be one that I just, that's a thing I'm willing to pay $10 a month for. Certainly in season while the new shows are starting, I'd have to see what's up there though, because I kind of feel like they might not do that, because I think the Pixar movies and the Marvel movies are probably things that people are still willing to buy that they may not put them up there in hopes that people.
Well, and that's been their model all along.
Yes.
Is limited releases of things, right? And so they bring back classic movies for a short period of time, and you can only buy them during that short period of time, and then they go away.
Right. So I'd have to see, but I. So
Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the other got to say.
Yeah. So with the Star Wars live action show, let's say it's 10 episodes or 13 episodes, like, I will pay for the service throughout that run at least. I'm totally willing to do that, because, I mean, unless it's just like, boy, this is a real stinker, but I can't, with Favreau in it, and if he's got a good budget, which I suspect they are, because I feel like Disney realizes streaming is where it's at. We want to get people paying us $10 a month for something. Like, that's what we want. I kind of feel like they're going to put a lot of money into the Star Wars show. And I kind of feel like they're going to really want to give you a pretty good value for that service. So I wouldn't be shocked if all the Pixar stuff shows up there and all the Marvel stuff. Because it's like, hey, man, just pay us $10 a month for the rest of your life. And you can have everything we want. I think they'd rather have that because they realize that's a model that can work. And especially if they get the 20th Century Fox catalog of movies that they're going to throw up there, then I think that's a pretty appealing thing to pay for. So we'll see.
So what you think is they're gonna launch the service with Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer?
Maybe. Maybe. Who knows what they're going to do with that? Because if they do, and it is now looking again like they're going to get it. It was a touch and go there for a while, but it is kind of going in that direction. Who knows how they're going
to... I honestly don't think it was ever touch and go. I think that the Comcast bid was laughed off at Disney, and they just said, add 10 billion.
Yeah.
Add 10 billion. We're just going to buy it. We want it.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think Fox didn't want to, not that I'm a business analyst, hardly, but I don't think they wanted to sell it to Comcast. I think they wanted Disney to buy it. I don't know why that matters to them. Money's money. But for some reason, I think that's where they really wanted it to go. And Disney was able to offer some more money and offer cash instead of stock, because I think their initial thing was just stock. But then they were like, hey, whatever you want. You want stock, you want cash, whatever. We'll give it to you. So who knows how they're going to incorporate Fantastic Four and the X-Men and all those characters. I just know Kevin Feige is like just, you know, anxious. Like, he wants that stuff bad, I'm sure. So whether those are movies or maybe they're streaming shows, maybe you get a Fantastic Four streaming service show. I doubt it. I bet they're going to put those back in.
When you look at how are they going to combine things, you know, Deadpool now has redacted, no spoilers, which allows him to go in.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yes, exactly. I didn't see Deadpool 2 yet, so thanks for not.
Which is why I did that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. but yeah, so who knows where it's going to go? But yes, to answer your question, I'm willing to pay for that because that's why I'm into Star Wars. And I'm that kind of Star Wars fan. Well, any other thoughts that you want to leave our audience with before we get rolling here, Patrick? I see that we're over an hour now. So,
and you thought we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
I never think that. I always know we're gonna talk about the monkeys for 7 minutes at the beginning of the show. Anyway, everybody, thanks so much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed some of our recent episodes.
That's one of the things I want to say. John, you've been doing a phenomenal job of getting some pretty awesome high profile guests here lately. I mean, Butcher, Delilah Dawson, Andy Weir, come on. You're swinging for the bleachers now, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's a lot of luck. I'll say that it's been a lot. It's as I've said off air, I think it's because we've been doing the show for a long time, pretty consistent. We have good relationships with people in the industry and publishing and the publicists. And a lot of it is we're able to get these people on the show. I hope everybody is enjoying it because every big profile guest we've had has been awesome, like just an awesome, nice person to talk to. So I haven't been disappointed with any of the big high profile people we've gotten on lately. They've been amongst our nicest, most interesting guests. So that's always nice because you're always sort of prepared for it not to be that way. So hopefully we can keep getting great people on the show, whether they're a big name like Andy Weir or someone up and coming. We love talking to all of them. So hopefully you love listening. If you're already backing us, thank you. Appreciate it. If you're not, consider becoming one of our backers at patreon.com/functionalnerds. Patrick, anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
All right, everybody. Go and watch Star Wars. I'm sure you want to watch it after hearing all of that. And have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Smoke. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
'You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.